I would put thin slice of tomato, and I would put spinach instead of lettuce. And I want my sandwich. I want my sandwich, and I want it right now. I'm hungry.
What the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Jesus yeah, Christ. I'm waiting for like what this will lead up to. The problem.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Anime Summit podcast, and I am Sam. Sam, the CD-ROM. Put me in your PS2, and
try not watch to calm too fast. And
watch a movie. And with me also is the Uncanny Danny.
Hello, everyone.
And Nick Boner.
Four score Boner. And 7 years ago, I watched my first hentai. There was
oh
some
my
big
God.
Titties in there.
Welcome back to the Anime Summit podcast. And today we are talking about monumental anime. Game changers. If we were to carve a Mount Rushmore, but instead of four presidents, we would carve four characters that represent four anime that changed the fucking game. Or maybe not even just changed the game, but just that are like monumental to anime entertainment. Later in the episode, we will do that, and maybe we'll argue with each other. Maybe Nick doesn't know what he's talking about after all. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and for the record, we're aware that other podcasts have done this idea before. We thought of it on our own, parallel thinking. You know, it's not a crazy concept to do a Mount Rushmore of your hobby. So
it's actually, yeah, it's not.
Yeah,
people
it's very, very obvious. Other podcasts have done it. We're going to do our own. So there. If you don't
right.
like it,
and
then
you know,
get out of my house, as Sam would say.
Get out of my house. Here's what's cool about the way we do it, though, is that we don't give a fuck.
Aramanga Sensei on the mountain.
We do whatever we want.
Danny's like sunglasses. Danny's got sunglasses and a blunt in her mouth right now. She's just like, every day of my life, I'm going to go, shut!
Sam's mountain is just all proxy battles.
Okay, this is what it is.
Digimon
Metabots,
1.
Digimon
2,
1.
And Digimon 4.
And Beyblade.
Nah,
and Beyblade.
No, it's Metabot, Digimon, and Beyblade.
The
and
Holy Trinity.
And Gundam Build Fighters, fuck off.
The greatest and most important anime ever made.
Ever made. Of all time. But first, you know how we do in the school is I pass it off to news anchor Nick. Christina Aguilera does the only.
Wait, could I just say something real quick?
Yeah.
Before the news. I just want to do like a quick shout out to one of our Twitter followers, because last week when I posted up our new episode, excuse me, sorry for if I like butcher your name, but his or her name is Red Car, and they wrote, I stopped listening to it after they said Steins Gate, the lion. I forgot what we were talking about.
During our top 100 thing.
Yeah. Sengoku no Lion and Clannad don't deserve to be on the top 100. So, Sam, do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny, and yeah. Sorry that to that guy or girl, gal, sorry that, you know, we don't agree with your choices, but that's just how it is, man. And I hope you still listen to us because we're fun. Anyway, okay, I'm done.
For the record, I put them at 101, 102, just to make people salty.
For the record.
Just outside.
Wait for shout-outs till we get to the contact info. Damn it, Danny.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, Danny. Whatever.
You ruined it.
Way to ruin the flow.
Okay, we're done recording. Now shut it down.
Oh, my God. That's it.
Everyone just cancel it now.
We're done. This
okay,
is
no,
last...
this is...
this is the last recording.
This is the last recording. Everyone's fired except for Nick. What do you got? News anchor Nick.
All right, dude. All right, everybody get fucking hype. JoJo Part 5 is coming out this fall, October, 39 episodes. Dude, I don't know. Take your pants off and watch JoJo. If you haven't seen JoJo yet, one of the best anime to come out this decade. One of the most famous manga. Started a lot of memes and trends.
Oh,
really fucking
shit.
Funny. Yeah, there's that. They got like the anime memes. They have the wacky translation memes of the manga, like what a beautiful Duang and all this like weird shit.
Duang.
Anything that's weird, it's like every time that happens, someone's like, "Was that a JoJo reference?" And like half the time it is because JoJo's so fucking wacky. So yeah, Part 5 is finally coming out. Dave Production has announced it, and I am fucking hype. Any thoughts, guys? Nope.
Nope, because I'm not gonna.
Dude, did you click on the article? Look at their clothing. Look at this. There's a dude with a power window in his, he's got a heart-shaped window highlighting his pecs. Look at that fashion sense.
That's what's up, dude.
It's perfect. For the record, I haven't read the JoJo manga yet. I definitely am going to do that coming up. I've just started reading manga again. I'm on Yotsuba, so I'll get there eventually. But anyway, JoJo Part 5. Super excited about that. The next piece of news, we have My Anime List profiles are sort of back online. They still don't have a lot of stuff like if you click on the characters under the details page of different shows, those don't load up yet. But and you can't like change your profile photo and do a couple of other things, but your page is online, so that's good.
Yeah, dude. I'm kind of done with that shit. Like, I'm ready to just go to a different website. And
well, there's Annie. What is it? Annie List? That's the other one. Where you like?
I believe so. Yeah.
The interface looks like ass, but I guess the site works. You know, like I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, dude.
Anyway,
bogus.
God damn it, Mal. Why do you have to be so shitty? Like, you have the best interface. Just work.
Just fix it. Just fix it. God damn it.
Just like, do it.
It's like Homer poking the Asian kid in the class. He's like, do math.
Do math.
Yeah, well, anyway, that's a little bit of news. Quick piece of news, Golden Kamuy airing this season, which actually just finished its final episode, is going to have a fall episode or fall season, which is cool. So if you're a fan of that, then check out Golden Kamuy season 2. And then Konosuba movie is...
Yeah.
Has been announced, so get fucking hyped for that. Oh my god, dude, it's gonna be animated by I believe JC staff, so not Studio Dean, which will be interesting because Studio
Dean
they're like they use their quality animation to really good effect in Konosuba to like they had it kind of like purposely bad, but that made it funnier. So I don't know how JC staff is. I think it's JC staff. Yes it is. I don't know how they're going to handle that, but I hope they do a good job. I hope it's well-directed and like dynamic, you know. It's a movie.
Yeah.
It can't be that bad, right? I don't know. Dude, I'm fucking hyped, though.
I am, too.
One of the best anime comedies in the past few years, for sure.
Love it.
And then the last piece of news is like a real-world example. It says, one in four Japanese workers surveyed wants to kill their boss. And this is just... There's a whole article we can link. It's from JapanToday.com, and there's like a whole little article that they explain how this happens. There's like these black companies that are, I think black companies are a bad thing in Japan, where it's like people don't want to work there, because I know black in like finance terms is good, because you're in the black, that makes you're making money, but like kind of a black list where like you don't want to work there because they treat you like cattle. I think that's how it works. Then there's like the white companies that everybody wants to work at. So if you're at a black company, you're more likely to want to kill your boss. And then my favorite comment in there, or I think it was on Reddit, someone's like, so 75% of people were lying about wanting to kill their boss. And it's like,
I don't want to get fired. Shh.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't publish this, please.
Well, no, and that's the thing. Like, if you're answering a survey, make sure you don't give away too much information that could, like, link to you, especially if you're going to answer something like that. like, oh, a person from this company said that. It's like, okay. I don't know. We all, you know, we all want to uprise, get some guillotines out, you know?
Get some guillotines?
I dream of that every day.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Okay, well, and it's just kind of a sign of, like, the very bad work culture in Japan, which it does kind of show up in anime, because, like, we get a lot of bad anime every season, you know? And I figure that's kind of, that's just, like, part of, that's, like, a symptom of it, you know? Just too much goddamn shit. Inefficient.
Too much goddamn, just too much goddamn shit! Old man Nick.
Yeah, we'll link that article in the comments, or in the show notes.
Link it in the description.
In the doo-doo-doo.
And before, look, I've been forgetting to do this, and I have to fucking do it, because Nick excluded it from the notes for some reason for the past, I don't even know how many weeks. But before we get into the Waifu and His Band on main topic, please follow us at Anime Summit on Twitter and Anime Summit Podcast on Instagram, youtube.com/Anime Summit. And then from there, if you go to the About section, you can find Anime Summit Extra, where we post other shit and video games and vlogs and pictures of Smokey. So go over there, do all that stuff,
and also
follow us.
Quokka just I just learned about IGTV, which is Instagram TV, and Quokka posted a video up there, like, on our profile. So we will all potentially be posting stuff in the future. It's just like super easy vlog type style videos.
Yeah, it's really sweet. Like, it came out like last week or something, or they launched it last week,
like 3 days ago.
I don't know how old
it
is, but yeah,
it's fairly
been
new.
Playing. Yeah, Quokka's been playing PUBG Mobile, so he used the self-recording thing on his tablet or whatever he was using, his phone or whatever, and he uploaded it there. And it's like a 9-minute match, and he uploaded the whole thing on there. It's fucking awesome. So,
yeah, what's the time limit on those videos?
I don't know, but he put like a whole PUBG match on there.
That's
for however long he survived. Anyway,
I'm gonna be
gonna
just be driving one-handed, dangerously holding my phone.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
You don't even have an Instagram account, Nick, so...
No, I'll use ours, all right?
Oh, man.
So, anyway, follow us. Our Instagram is still pretty fresh,
It'll be
too,
upside
so
down and backwards.
If
yes.
You're following, if
yes,
you're following
please,
Twitter...
Please follow us on Instagram. I've been managing it so much.
It's
please.
Our logo, and it just says at Anime Sound Podcast. So, there you go. Please do that. And every Thursday is a new episode on the RSS feed and iTunes, and every Saturday it comes on our YouTube. So, there you go. Boom! Waifu and His Bando, let's do it. Here we go. Waifu is Lum from Yurisai Yatsura. And His Bando is Adam, or Astro Boy. Here's why. The animes they come from, Lum and Astro Boy, or Tobio Tenma, whatever, those animes are like, they're kind of a big deal. Okay, their names are still, like, their names are still relevant, okay? We're talking about anime Mount Rushmore here, okay? We're trying to figure out what are staples in the anime entertainment industry? What are we still seeing today? How is it carried on a different, like, how has it left a legacy? You know, blah, blah, blah. So that's the main topic. So that's why we chose Lum, because that anime was pretty prevalent during what is some people consider the golden age of anime, which is like the 70s or 80s.
It was in the 80s, yeah.
Yeah, and...
well, I think the...
oh, yeah, sorry, the manga started in the late 70s. My bad, I was doing the wrong thing. But, and Astro Boy was one of
the
first...
That was the Yasuri was the one of the first manga that Yumiko Takahashi ever written before she did Inuyasha.
Oh, yep.
Yes, yeah, Rumiko Takahashi, yeah. And Astro Boy was one of the first animes that ever came
I think it was
America.
The first TV anime, because there were anime before that, before the 60s, but they weren't, they were kind of like propaganda, like war-style anime.
Yeah.
And like super short stuff, you know, like
Aesop's
Fables.
Well, we had a couple
Fables,
of those, too.
That
you
type
know,
of thing.
We had a couple of those, too, where Donald was like in the army and all that shit, but...
Well, yeah, every country does that. It's not anyway, but like, anime didn't. You know, modern anime didn't start until Astro Boy, basically.
That's true.
He's like the George Washington of anime.
Yeah, Osamu Tezuka. He's amazing.
Oh yeah, Tezuka is like a god.
He is. He's fucking.
He's like the manga, the father of manga, basically.
If you ask anyone about, if you ask like, you know, people like Anno or Satoshi Kon or whoever, who some of their inspiration is, you'll probably hear Osamu Tezuka's name.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, so here's the thing. What Nick told us was try and pick four, because there's four faces on Mount Rushmore, right?
Yeah, four things that like represent anime throughout the ages, you know,
that have left a legacy.
That have left a positive legacy.
Yeah. And that was kind of tough. Okay, I think there was a couple that all four of us agreed on, and we're gonna go through those. And then maybe later on, we'll try and figure out the rest of the mountain as we carve down this big-ass fucking bluff or whatever the fuck it is they carved it on. So I don't know I don't even know who's up there. It's like Abraham, Obama, and somebody
else.
Obama.
Obama. It's George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Theodore Roosevelt. And
Clinton, right?
And Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Lincoln, Saturn, Mercedes, whatever. Okay.
Oh,
anyway,
Jesus
so
Christ.
No, it's Robert E. Lee, Alex Jones.
Oh my God. Alex Jones.
Rush
yeah,
Limbaugh.
So
there we go.
So Dick Cheney, whatever, yeah.
Yeah,
so like
Dick Cheney.
So we had to pick, right? We had to figure it out. And I think Nick, if you want to start, because I think these first couple you have on your like little thing on the show notes is I think we all kind of agree on for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, there's no for sure, because there's only four slots, and there's, like, 14,000 anime, so...
14 bajillion.
So, first of all, like, we tried to keep it... I would say we tried to keep it before the 2000s. I don't know what you guys selected exactly, but I did, because that's just not enough time to make... To be able to know if that legacy is, like, you know, how influential it is and all that.
Right.
Although we are moving really fast nowadays with all this stuff coming out. But anyway.
Right.
So everything that I had was either was 90s or earlier. And I do feel bad. I didn't have anything in the 60s, even though maybe I could have put Astro Boy. But anyway. So the first two. Well, let's start with one. The first one that I put. I'm going to start from the beginning. It was Mobile Suit Gundam. And Mobile Suit Gundam started in 1979. It was the... not the first super robot show. I don't even know if it's technically a super robot show or like a giant robot show. It's more of like a... It depends on the Gundam, actually. It depends on the series of Gundam, because there's like a lot of different types of Gundam
shows.
I would
definitely say it's a big robot show, but it's not a super robot show.
Yeah, there's different variations of
right.
of robot shows in anime, and there's like a whole... like. You know,
there's the space opera war kind, which Mobile Suit Gundam is. Then there's the super robot show like Big O or Giant Robo or Gigantor.
Yeah, or Mazinger Z. Yeah, Giant or yeah, you said it. Getter Robo? Did you say that? Oh, you
I didn't
said
say Getter Robo.
You said Giant Robo. That's a different one.
I said Giant Robo. He looks like fucking King Tut. It's fucking weird.
And actually, Evangelion would be a super robot too, I believe, because it's like as big as a fucking building.
Well, yeah, and there's only three of them. You know what I mean? Like, that's not like a. They're not common. Like, in Gundam, they're common, right? There's Zakus. They're made of Gundanium alloy. There's a couple of different ones. There's the Gun Cannon, the Ak guy. You know what I mean? So, like, in Eva, there's only five of them. And then there's the production model ones. But, yeah.
Yeah, Gundam,
anyway.
Gundam's kind of like more giant robot mecha. It's like.
Yeah.
They're more mechanical than some other ones.
But either way, I think so. I think before, because I know people are going to listen to this.
Oh, real robot, I guess, would be a better description of that. There we go.
Yeah, or biomechanical. Yeah. Because I know my cousin Mario might listen to this and say, because he loves Robotech. Okay, my cousin Mario is the biggest Robotech fan, and I know he's going to listen to this and be like, "Huh, why didn't you say Robotech because it came out before Gundam? My name is Mario, and I like to smell my finger after I dip it in salsa." Like, okay.
Wait, was it Robotech was Macross, right? So that's like...
Yeah, yeah.
And Robotech is the Americanized version of it, too. It's not even fucking, like, the real thing.
Well,
well it's
yeah,
a different thing. And it has a lot of fans, so I shouldn't say
either
that.
Either way, it started before Gundam, but I don't think it was... I think Gundam is what really brought that genre to light.
Yeah, and actually, definitely. And actually, not even until... I think they released some... what is it called? Summary movies of the first Gundam series, 0079. They released the movies, and it wasn't until then that the show got really popular, as far as I know. Because actually, it didn't have, like, this huge surge right away of people loving it. But then after that, it got super massive, and, like, they sold a bunch of toys and a bunch of Gundam spinoffs, different robot show spinoffs.
Gundam is really I feel like is the anime and the franchise that popularized Big Robot more so than Macross / Robotech did.
Yeah, and it's like a multi-billion, I don't know, dollar or yen industry.
Well, like when you think about it, when you think, too? Yeah, no, exactly. When you think about it too,
I don't know if that's in dollars or yen. Don't quote me on that.
whether the current Gundam shows or Gundam shows of recent are good or not, it doesn't matter because it has started up levels beyond levels of new hobbies. There's gunpla contests out there now. There's people who make a whole room in their house of dioramas of gunpla models. They've taken the video game industry. Okay, you know what I mean? They have their little foot in the video game industry and arcade industry as well. I mean, it's when you see a Gundam in Japan, you're just like, oh, Gundam. You know what I mean? It's just that's how big it still is.
Yeah, it's the most popular giant robot show.
Right.
Series, franchise.
It almost doesn't matter that Iron Blooded Orphans was shit. You know what I mean? It was just like, like, it which sucks because I love the Barbados Gundam. But no, it still has a hold on a lot of it's iconic at this point when you see a Gundam's face, you know, or even a Zaku's face.
Well, before Gundam, there were these Monster of the Week robot shows with Mazinger, Getter Robo, et cetera, and they were more kids shows. And then once you got to Gundam in 1979 and onward, there was more of like a serious war drama element to more of these shows. They had more of a serialized story and, like, plot from episode to episode. It wasn't perfect because, like, the first Gundam series did have some of the, you know, fights of the week type of thing going on. It was a few too many episodes, to be honest, but the compilation movies made that more tight. But anyway, yeah, it basically kind of popularized the war dramas, especially with robots.
Because the super robot shows before that, they were like, they had that Power Rangerization happening where it's like the next episode was a bigger monster and then it's like, oh, call Gigantor. Yeah. Call Giant Robo over here and have him do a rocket fist up his ass. We're done for the day.
Yeah.
Or Voltron.
Right. And then there was also, you know, at that time, the reason why those were popular is because back then there was like Godzilla and Toho and Ultraman, you know?
Yeah.
And instead of having a man, they had a fucking robot that a dude was piloting. And it was like, this robot's fucking cool. He's got rocket arms. Instead of Ultraman chilling in the corner going, yeah,
yeah. The only thing I know about Ultraman was those shorts we watched. The Animators Expo shorts.
Yeah. But yeah, Gundam, I think, is very important. I think it belongs on the mountain.
Yeah, because when you think of anime, you think of mecha. You think of Gundam. Some people don't even call stuff mecha. They're like, oh, that's a Gundam show, even though it's not.
Yeah, you know? Right, yeah. I've known some people who've done that, too.
It's like
they've
it's
seen
like the
anime.
Fundamentals.
Excuse me? What was that? I heard my name.
No. I said I know some people who've done that where they've seen a big robot anime, like on like a commercial or on the screen or something. Like, oh, what is that, Gundam?
Oh.
And it's not even Gundam. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen people. It's... God damn it.
Yeah.
It also inspired the greatest anime of all time.
Oh, God.
Evangelion.
No.
Oh. I thought you were going to say Nadesco.
I thought he was going to say Darling in the Franxx.
Oh, God. Oh, shit. I should have said that. Zom, cut that out. Put in Darling in the Franxx. That's funnier.
That's funnier. Yeah, so Gundam. If you don't know what Gundam is, you're probably doing it wrong. What else you got on here, Nick?
My second one that's like a shoe-in. It's like dynamite. It has to be in there, solidified. I've already chiseled the rock. I've already chiseled it in the shape. Well, not the guy, because he's pretty chiseled. He doesn't need me to chisel him more. But like, I've chiseled Goku's features into the mountain, because Dragon Ball Z, is the quintessential shonen action anime, and that has to be on here. I know there were shonen that came before. There's Fist of the North Star. There's a variety of others, which I can't think of their names right now, because who watches old shows nowadays anyway? But no, like, because Dragon Ball started the big shonen craze. We wouldn't have, like, you know, we wouldn't have the big three without Dragon Ball. We wouldn't have My Hero Academia without Dragon Ball, you know? It started a lot of these tropes. It started the 20-episode power-up. They're like, oh, in 5 more minutes, I'll beat you. And it's like 5 episodes, you know? And it started all these things. And it had the comedy, had the action, had the martial arts. It had everything. It had these goofy little kids, these like little, you know, small groups of characters who were underdogs yet had fun at the same time, and they battled these different, you know, they did like different story arcs, and it was fun. It wasn't super gritty and gory like some of the other stuff that came before it in the early 80s and mid 80s. So yeah, I got to pick Dragon Ball. Plus it's just like Gundam, Dragon Ball is like maybe the most popular anime ever. I think it is. Like, you have to ask people. Well, Pokemon is like probably bigger, but Dragon Ball is, excuse me, Dragon Ball is as far as anime, like every single person you'll ask has heard of Dragon Ball. If you go to like an athlete, any athlete, you go to the gym, people are wearing Goku t-shirts. I was at the gym today and I saw a girl wearing a Goku shirt or Master Roshi's shirt. Like, you see, you know, there's like
I'm
basketball
training
NBA
to be
players.
A Saiyan.
There's NBA players watching Dragon Ball on their phones before the game. Like, I've seen GIFs of that. Like,
my future husband, Michael B. Jordan, is actually a big fan of Dragon Ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody likes Dragon Ball. Like, if you're an athlete, if you're anybody, you know what it is.
Ronda Rousey loves Dragon Ball too. She says she wants to marry Vegeta, which is like, I agree.
I mean, yeah. Vegeta or Piccolo, like, for sure.
But, like, and here's the thing, too, is, like, it's really weird because Dragon Ball started off with kind of this theme where it borrowed kind of the tale of, it based a theme off of Journey to the West with Goku the Monkey King.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of just evolved from there into this martial arts epic. And then from there, it evolved into this big power showdown.
Yeah, like, it really popularized power-ups and power creep in shonen, where like every character just keeps getting more and more powerful until it gets like ludicrous.
Right, and people want to say
they
too,
start
like,
from
oh,
the
yeah.
bottom in Dragon Ball Episode 1. They're starting from the bottom.
Right, because then people want to say like, oh yeah, Dragon Ball Z is really what did that. I'm like, sure, but they did it in Dragon Ball because Goku.
Well, I'm talking about the whole franchise, episode. Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z.
No, but what I'm saying to you is there are people who point to Dragon Ball Z and say that, oh, yeah, that's where it really got popular or whatever.
Well, that's right. True, though. That is where it got popular in the West.
No, yeah, but I'm saying, like, they don't think about how they did it in Dragon Ball, because by the end of Dragon Ball, Goku was 18, 19 years old. He was like, almost an adult. He was fighting the most powerful demon known in the universe, and he came like a real far. He had just defeated a whole army of robots and soldiers and terrorists by himself.
Yeah, the Red Ribbon Army.
Like,
well, he was fighting Piccolo, or King Piccolo, who was like the evil Piccolo. And there's like two versions of him, but yeah.
Well,
yeah.
then he had the Piccolo we know now, and then he fought him at the end. But anyway, the power creep and the power up happened in Dragon Ball 2, is what I'm saying. But anyway, yes, like shonen. It's you know, I'm watching it. I'm enjoying My Hero Academia and Food Wars right now. I would say it's how I did enjoy Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah,
I would go on record and say that for sure, because you're watching Soma do everything he can to learn something that he doesn't know about, and like even his opponents, he'll be like, okay, but how did you do this though? I want to know. Like, he never, people always forget about him, and that's what makes him a good hero. And then you have Midoriya, and he's just learning how to use this quirk that was given to him, and it's just like,
yeah, and you could say that, like, these characters have more personality than Goku, which is true.
They do.
You know, there's more, like, empathy with Midoriya especially, but, like, Goku still started it all, and also he was a Saiyan, so cut him a little slack. he can't tell boys from girls. Cut him some slack. But yeah, like, it just, you know, it really paved the way for the modern shonen, for modern action anime.
Agree.
And in a lot of ways, it still has some of the best scenes or episodes in action anime, in my opinion. At least, like, in some of the movies too, like, there's the what is it? The first one, Dead Zone. I need to watch that again. But there's some like insane martial arts sequences. I think Dead Zone was the first one. Anyway, it was one of the first. But like, especially early on in Dragon Ball, before they got ridiculously powerful, the martial arts and cinematography of the fights was crazy. It was also really funny too. Like Bulma, you know, pulling down her shirt and making Master Roshi bleed onto the invisible guy so that they could see him. it's just like shit like that. And then there's also this like super, you know, intricate fight scenes where nowadays you watch a show and it's like they don't even fucking try
that
hard.
I just love that part in Dragon Ball where like he's like, you're about to fight one of the greatest martial artists of all time. And it's this dude in a bunny mask, and it turns out that it's Baba brought his quote unquote grandpa back for a day.
Oh yeah, yeah. In the first Dragon Ball.
And he's like, I hope I didn't hurt you too bad. I'm just trying to point out your weak spot so you know to watch out. And he's like crying. And like, you never see Goku cry emotionally. And then like, there he is crying because his grandpa's there. And it's fucking awesome. But anyway, staple. I agree. Carve that into the mountain.
It's carved in, baby.
But let's carve Piccolo instead because he's a better father. Anyway.
I think we'd carve in. So what would you carve though? Would it be, it's Goku for sure. Would it be Kid Goku or Adult Goku? I think I would put Kid Goku.
I would put Kid Goku.
And he'd have, like, his power pole.
Yeah.
Somehow. Or his flying Nimbus or something. That
it'd be like
he'd
a
be
fist.
On his Nimbus, for sure.
He'd be on his Nimbus.
Dude,
yeah.
That'd be sick. Oh, my God, dude. I'm getting shit.
And only people with pure heart can stand on it, and, like, fucking Master Roshi just falls through it. Because he's a pervert. But, yeah, no, Dragon Ball for sure. So now we're getting to the other half of the list here.
So these are a little more controversial. Dragon Ball and Gundam were like heavyweights. Like it's almost hard to argue against them. But then the last two, we need to try to cover different genres of anime and like different ideas. Like in my thought process for my list, was like what makes you think of anime? Like what ideas and stories and characters are anime and not just live action. Because, you know, I could put a random thriller show, you know, like Monster or something. Well, that's too new, but you get the idea. But that doesn't make me think of anime. It doesn't even need to be an anime. So, like, what is anime? Like, what represents it? And then what represents something that Gundam and Dragon Ball didn't necessarily cover as much? So I don't know if you guys want to go first on one of yours or not.
Well, I don't know. It's really tough because I think so I'm just going to start talking about this one and then whatever the conversation goes, it goes. But the next one you had on here, which is the next one I had, was Sailor Moon. And that kind of was
the original
awesome
Sailor
because
Moon.
The original, yeah. I mean, that's like that really started like hashtag squad goals for sure, because you combined Magical Girl into Super Sentai together. You had the squad of five girls. And later they became more, obviously, with the other Sailor
Scouts. Yeah, with all the sequels and everything.
And the Sailor Stars or whatever. But it also kind of, like, it was cool because they were girls. It was a show targeted to girls, and it was just like, you can be awesome and fight bad guys and monsters, too. No big deal. You know what I mean? And I think that by itself is kind of what makes it more a staple than anything. I mean, obviously the fact that it boosted the magical genre and added the Sentai genre to it. But I also think the most important thing, though, is hey, girls and femmes and other stuff like that, like, you can be a Sailor Scout and fucking wreck people. Like, you're strong and you're a badass. Whatever.
Sailor Moon,
you know what I mean?
Sailor Moon was kind of like the first fictional female role model for girls who can just go out and do whatever they want. You know, they don't have to be the whole typical, you know, housewife, you know, get married and have kids and stay home and, you know, have the husband bring the bread and butter and all that kind of stuff. So, like, she's definitely that type of role model of, you know, I'm a badass, I get to fight crime, you know, and, you know, I have, like, my friends to back me up kind of thing. So,
yeah,
that's kind of what Sailor Moon did for me. You know, like, she was very inspirational. Like, the whole entire show was very inspirational. So, and, you know, not only that, but, like, you have these other characters with her, you know. Sailor Mercury as, like, the bookworm smarty kind of character. Then you have, you know, Rey, who's, like, the feisty spiritualist.
Oh, yeah, Sailor Mars?
Yeah, Sailor Mars.
Because I know they named them different things in the dub versus the sub.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
They really localized it a lot.
Well,
so it's funny.
They didn't,
it was still good,
they
though.
Did,
like.
They didn't do it too, like, too harshly, you know.
Oh, they did.
Amy is still Amy is still Amy, you know, just spelt differently. And
well, they changed her from Usagi to Serena, so.
Yeah.
But and they cut out, like, they literally cut out like 20% of every episode, and they rearranged it somehow, and cuz American TV at the time, like, required them to have some sort of, like, educational element to it or something like that. They had some kind of weird regulations. So
yeah,
they
and then they
redo
and
it.
Then they changed gay romance into incest.
Yeah,
which yeah. They're like,
so
oh, we're cousins.
Funny.
It's like, that's so much better. Good job.
But, like, no one really, like, you know, said anything bad about it. Everyone just laughed about that and was just like, okay.
Right. I think yeah, I think a lot of fans understood that was, you know.
I mean, it was freaking obvious.
Right,
so, like,
right.
Everybody, you know.
So anyway, I don't know. I think Usagi's face belongs on the mountain too. I'm gonna go ahead and just say it.
Yeah,
no,
we'll
I,
say that.
We're
doing her pose.
I definitely agree with you. You know, Sailor Moon is definitely on that pedestal of, you know, the one that started it all. You know,
well, it wasn't the first magical girl show, because there was a number of them before that.
No, you're right. You're absolutely
but
right.
But it kind of brought it into, like, more adolescent, because the earlier magical girl stuff was, like, actually girls, you know, like, you know, elementary school girls, stuff like that. And it was more, you know, more of a children's show. And then Sailor Moon kind of brought
the first,
you know, these high stakes and adolescence and darkness to it.
The first magical girl anime was Sally the Witch.
Yeah, and that was kind of inspired by Bewitched and all that.
That aired in 1962. So
yeah, and Sailor Moon was like 1990 or 92 to 93, and then it had a whole bunch of sequels. And
so here's the thing that I'm trying to keep in mind too, because Nick kind of gave his reason for thinking of things when he was thinking about this topic. What I was taught in school when I was doing digital publishing class for graphic design, they said when you are driving on the highway and you see the golden M, you know right away that it's a McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
You know right away. The name McDonald's doesn't even have to be under that M. You'll just see it and you'll know that's what it
yep.
is.
I remember this. I was taught this in school too about logos.
Yes,
and everything
yeah.
Like
so Danny is a graphic designer too, so she knows what I'm talking about. If you're walking down Japan. And anywhere in Japan, probably, and you go up to one of the locals and show them a picture of Sailor Mars or whoever, or Sailor Moon on your phone or whatever, they're going to know who it is right away. I know damn well they would. Like, you just can't. Same with Gundam and same with Goku. And I think a big part of it is the legacy that they left. They left. Whether they're doing, whether they're still doing shows or not, it's, I think, whose face belongs on the mountain is animes that have left a legacy behind, mm-hmm. or left a trend behind. They're a trailblazer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. And like I was saying before, Sailor Moon's, it had more dark themes than the previous Magical Girl shows. And then a lot of our modern ones now, especially after Madoka, have kind of copied that a little bit. And Sailor Moon did it before they did. And it kind of paved the way a little bit for that.
Yeah.
And
the Sailor Scouts, they were in high school and they were growing up.
No,
know?
They like weren't they even were... in high school. They were in middle school.
Junior high, whatever.
Oh, they looked like high schoolers, so close enough.
They were like in junior high or middle school or anything. So they were like 13 years old. And freaking Usagi was in love with a college student.
That's normal in Japan. That's fine.
Well, I mean, that's still, I mean, my point's still the same then.
Yeah.
But like,
well, yeah.
Because the Magical Girl shows before were
and
like
elementary. Another thing
girls.
We got to mention is it really popularized the transformation sequence for Magical Girl shows.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it was the first one. That's a good question. But the reason they do it is because they can put a lot of Sakuga in it and make it look really cool. And then at the same time, they only have to animate that once for each character. And then they can just plug it into every episode. So that really, they're only animating like 18 minutes of an episode because they have these transformation sequences to save budget. So it lets them just keep making the show. It's really smart. And it's cool. Like, it's kind of fun to see it every time. The transformations.
Yeah.
And that's how you, that's the part of what makes a Magical Girl show is the transformations where they transform from their school clothes to their sailor uniforms.
Also, the references are real. Like, you know what I mean? There's so many anime out there who reference, you know, the transformation scene and Panty and Stocking and with garter belt, you know, the transformation scene in there is really hilarious.
Yeah, and Kill la Kill does it to like an extreme effect where there's like nothing covering them.
Whoosh! It's like a whip
sound.
Well,
that's like with Cutie Honey too. Cutie Honey too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Cutie Honey was before Sailor Moon, and that was like really the first one that did it, but.
But that was like Gonna Guy, so it was like super.
Yeah, Gonna Guy
is
another
like
one of those like almost Tezuka level, historical figures.
Right. Excuse me.
Yeah, we've mentioned that before. Yeah, Cutie Honey. Jesus, we could have said that. So, but the thing is, like Sailor Moon left more of an impression, and it was better than Cutie Honey. Like,
I think Sailor Moon reaches a wider audience.
Yeah,
and the reason I didn't
put the Gonna Guy stuff like Devilman or whatever, because like his stuff was very, very important. God, he did like Getter Robo too. He did so much fucking stuff. Like he
Getter
basically
Robo
invented
is
anime.
That. Like
Getter Robo was my favorite super robot.
Like holy shit, he did so
Gonna
much.
Gonagai and Clamp, you know, like for Cardcaptor Sakura. That's like the underground Mount Rushmore. You know, like that's
well, they're like
new topic.
So foundational. You know, but like,
write it down.
It doesn't have to. That's why I'm saying it doesn't have to be the first one. It just has to be the one that left for me personally. That I'm looking at the data and the numbers. Like these ones left a bigger impact on the most number of people, the most money.
Oh yeah.
So Dragon Ball, Gundam, Sailor Moon all made more money than Devilman and Cutie Honey. I think I'm pretty sure they did.
So
I have
now,
not fact checked that, but
no,
I'm,
they
I'm
did.
Fairly
I mean,
sure they did. So
they're still Dragon Ball and Sailor Moon alone. And
well,
Pokemon.
Yeah,
and
part of
and
that
Pokemon,
was the
those three are making the most money for Japan in the U.S. Because if you go to Hot Topic, what are you going to see the most? Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball Z, Sanrio, and Pokemon. That is the most merchandise that you will ever see in, like, stores. And Naruto.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, but... overall, like
yeah, Naruto, which got a lot of its stuff from Dragon Ball, some of it.
Well,
no, I mean let's be serious. I mean,
well, Naruto's like 10 years after Dragon Ball, so it makes sense.
So now comes the question. There's one more space left on the mountain. Nick is really tired. I haven't had my sandwich. And Danny is still working on Goku's nose over there, way the fuck over there. So,
oh, I'm doing all the work. Okay.
we haven't gotten even paid yet, and we're just like, okay, I'm really tired. The sun's still up, but I'm hungry. I want my sandwich. I want my sandwich. I want my fucking roast beef on rye. With- Dijon, mayo, mayo,
lettuce and tomato.
I would put thin slice of tomato, and I would put spinach instead of lettuce. And I want my sandwich. I want my sandwich, and I want it right now because I'm hungry.
What the fuck does that have to do with anything? Jesus
yeah,
Christ!
Yeah, I'm waiting for like what this will lead up to.
The problem is that I can't have my sandwich until, because this is where our lists start breaking off, because. This is where we got to talk about, because here's the thing. I feel like Dragon Ball and Gundam kind of covers the mark of the end of the Golden Age, in my opinion. Okay, so if everyone's yelling right now, shut the fuck up, calm down. In my opinion, I kind of think that Dragon Ball and Gundam kind of covers the end of the Golden Age. Sailor Moon is the beginning of the Silver Age. Not saying that Sailor Moon triggered the Silver Age, but kind of the beginning of that, because it was in the 90s, you know what I mean? So, I mean, now I'm trying to think of what is a staple in the Silver Age that should be on the mountain.
Well, technically, Dragon Ball and Sailor Moon were in the Silver Age, too. They were on the tail end.
See, because that's what I'm saying. There's so much debate about what's the Golden Age and
what's
the Silver
Age. You just
said
the Golden was the 80s, right?
No, I said...
Well, the Golden was the 90s?
60s to 80s. 60s to 80s is okay. What I said. The Golden Age was... Okay, well, you ruined everything. So anyway.
Oh, my God.
Here we go. What do we put on this space?
The answer is Ebichu.
Okay. Are you saying that it's Crayon Shin-Chan? Because I would not disagree with you at all.
I would.
You're a bitch. Hey, Shin-Chan ran for 20 years. The manga ran for 20 years. Don't even fuck with me right now. Okay? The show is still going. Like, it's 940 episodes so far. The show
is
still going.
Thing. That's the same thing with One Piece. One Piece is still fucking going, too.
Yeah, but One Piece is fucking stupid, okay? Like,
oh, come on, it's pirates.
You've never read it, Sam.
I was about to make the Two Piece and a Biscuit joke again. I wasn't going to do that. Anyway,
like, I already got my sandwich. I don't need Two Piece and a Biscuit. I don't know.
Right.
But we've already done Shonen. That's the thing. Like, we don't need to do another Shonen.
Right, that's true. Shin-Chan is not a Shonen.
No, I'm talking about One Piece. I'm talking about One Piece.
Oh, yeah, One Piece. No, but I would... Look. Shin-Chan is a fucking gold comedy.
Are you picking, like, I understand you picking that, Shin-Chan?
I don't know. Because here's the thing. Okay. Here's the thing. Danny's list has Akira and Cowboy Bebop.
Wait, then what did she cut the out movie, then?
Huh?
Okay, I see. Well, you left out Sailor Moon, Danny.
No, I didn't.
According to the sheet.
Oh, well, that was because you know you had Sailor Moon on yours.
Well, yeah, I was saying you guys could put the same thing. That's fine.
But I don't know. I mean, I kind of didn't want, like, I wanted to do Sailor Moon, but at the same time, I'm just like, well, that's just going to be a given regardless. So I kind of wanted my list
Rushmore.
to kind of. Well, that was like the whole, besides the whole point of like us doing, like us deciding as like one, not like three separate lists, you know?
Yeah, because
well,
the point of
why,
Mount Rushmore
that's why this
is being ubiquitous. We're not making our 3x3s here.
No. That's why this is kind of a fun discussion, though, because we're trying to figure it out together. Because. Friends are power.
Friends are power.
We can do it together.
You're my Nakuma. Baka.
Now Nick is going to become Sasuke, and I have to go fight him real quick.
Sasuke!
Nick, come back.
Sasuke!
But, like, I mean, like, Akira, like, I don't know, man. If I'm going to say something triggered the Silver Age of anime... I would not mind saying Cowboy Bebop or Akira did either, you know what I mean?
Well,
even though Cowboy Bebop was later, but
what did Cowboy Here's my my issue with Cowboy Bebop on the mountain is, like, yeah, it's one of the best anime, but what else is like Cowboy Bebop? What could even copy from it? It like started and perfected its own genre all in one show. Like, you don't even need to make more of them. So, like, what came after Bebop?
But in terms of, like, animation and style, though.
What the two most, like, relatable space western anime that I could think of that came after Cowboy Bebop is Trigun and Outlaw Star. Mainly Outlaw Star, because that involves with space, just like Cowboy Bebop.
Like, a year before it, or like on the same year? I think they did.
No.
I'm pretty sure that Bebop was 98, and then those were like 97 or something. Either way.
I just like the opening theme to Outlaw Star.
Yeah, same.
Opening is hype as shit. They were both 98. Both animes were 98.
Yeah. Trigun was
but the manga,
all of that was
the manga for Outlaw Star was older.
But the thing about this, here I'm going to go back and argue this. Those original anime, Bebop especially, was made easier to create because of the fact that Evangelion existed, which only existed because early shows like I think like Getter Robo and Gundam and various others, those existed to influence Evangelion. So I just went back and said Gundam, because that really started it all. That was an original.
You know, I wanted to say Evangelion and say exactly what you said, but I didn't want people to be like, oh, Simon Nick would choose it because they're gay.
No, I did. I purposely didn't pick Evangelion because I think Gundam is more fundamental.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay. Well, okay, then. So, Nick, for your fourth spot, you put Totoro, and I just don't. No, My Neighbor Totoro.
It was kind of to represent Ghibli, and also because, look, let's be honest, Totoro would look sweet on that mountain. Look at him. He's like a little ball of fluff.
He's like a big old.
I have a lot of other reasons, too. I don't know. I can run
this
through.
This is really hard. This is a really fun discussion, but it's really hard. It's really hard to think of. Like, I'm trying to go through my mail right now, even, and I'm just.
Well, the other one that I was thinking of, unfortunately, I haven't seen it yet, is Urusei Yatsura, which started a lot of the romance slice of life tropes.
From where our waifu's from.
But part of why, well, I haven't seen it yet. That's the big one. And I will give it an honorary mention, because a lot of people would say it could be on here. And it also started Sundares. You know, that we've all heard of, like, the Sundere girl. She's like, I don't like you, Bak. It's not like I wanted your help, you know, and that type of thing. She was one of the most famous ones.
Baka.
Because this Lum, the waifu, that's what I know of her. I don't really know that much. But I didn't pick that because it wasn't, because you can find romances, like, anywhere. And I'm thinking, like, specifically anime. So, like, Slice of Life. And Iyashike, and, like, anime films that are, like, super ultra high quality, like, all the Ghibli films, are like, what I think of first, before I think of the romances and all those tropes. And I picked Totoro because it's the face of Ghibli. It's, like, literally their mascot. This is kind of in place of, like, Studio Ghibli. It's one of the best Ghibli movies, too.
Okay, I totally get you. Okay, you know you're my best boy. But I'm just saying, I feel like there's something that we're not thinking of that should be in that spot instead.
Well, there's sci-fi. This is the other one. Sci-fi, we didn't really cover that much. Because, like,
Gundam
Akira
kinda covers
could fit
sci-fi.
In that. Yeah, Gundam fits in that. Gundam fits in that pretty decently. But it's not
same. Gundam is more political.
Gundam is, like, more political war drama. They don't really go into, like, all the all the jargon stuff like they would in Ghost in the Shell, for example.
Okay, I want to hear what Danny has to say for the fourth spot then. Because you fart too much in my cereal.
Well, I mean, for the fourth spot, like, the one thing that really comes to mind, to be quite honest, that I could think of like, what really defines anime is Akira. You know, that film saved anime, because, you know, the anime industry was in such a rut in the 80s. You know, they weren't making enough money. They almost went bankrupt, you know? So then once Akira was made, that pretty much saved the industry. So, I mean, I really don't have anything else to say other than that. And everyone knows this. So, not only that, like, the manga is fucking terrific. You know, it goes beyond what the movie alone can tell you.
Manga, I'll tell you, it's something else.
If
anyone is a fan of Akira and you haven't read the manga, do yourself a favor and literally
read it.
Go to your library. I'm sure my library has it. I'm sure a library has all six. Like, seriously. Like,
yeah. And
it's fucking great.
I don't know if you probably just mentioned it. I was kind of distracted for a second there. But Akira really woke up the West in terms of, like, this is what anime can do. Because it was in the mid-80s, I think 85-ish.
88 it came out.
88? Okay.
Yeah.
I would, and like I said earlier, I would go ahead and say, Sam says that Akira triggered the Silver Age of anime. I would go as far as to say that.
Well,
just like
the other thing,
just
though.
Okay. God damn it.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was done with my points.
I was just going to say the other thing was it. So the problem with Akira is that it was kind of like a failure financially. They spent so much goddamn money on that movie. I think it still has like the most frames of any anime movie any animated movie.
So that
like
one scene,
like, even including like old Disney movies, which is fucking unreal.
There's this one scene, I believe, with the detective and the old guy. And they're walking on the bridge, and they're having a conversation. And it's a beautiful scene. And the buildings are walking by, are going by as they're walking. And then all of a sudden, you know, you see like this little strip of like the city, and you see the city lights and everything like that. There's a YouTube video about just this one scene alone. I forgot what it was called. But I'll find it and I'll have Nick put it in the show notes. But that one little strip is a full painting. And it's
their backgrounds
absolutely
were nuts.
Beautiful.
They spent so much money on this movie, like.
Because
it was the boom of the '80s, they had all that money.
But in the long run, it was beneficial, you know, that this movie worldwide, it made $49 million.
But they still lost money.
That's nuts.
But in yen, they got 750 million yen for it.
Which is a lot less than $49 million, I think, isn't it?
No, in Japan, the box office, it got 750 million yen in Japan. In worldwide, like when it went to like the U.S. and everything, it got 49 million worldwide. So
their budget in U.S. was 10 million.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Only 10 million? That's like not that much. Oh, I think they had a lot of production issues.
So let's say
this. I think what happened is they almost bankrupted themselves like a whole bunch of times and like it fucked up. But like you're talking like all time. That's anyway, it had a lot of issues. I just know that it wasn't like some kind of perfect production. And also,
yeah, but you know,
it didn't fully adapt the manga, and the manga is better. By a good margin.
I think they're two different things. I think they're two different things.
No.
The movie has a lot of story issues. I've watched it a long time ago. I would have to go back and see it again. But it's not like, honestly, it's not like the greatest story in a movie. It just happens to be like the best animation. Which, you know, that's a good enough reason to be on the mountain,
I think,
I guess.
The story. I think the movie did the story pretty decent justice. I mean,
it's just so convoluted and long, and like there's just issues with the story, like, which is, I don't know. I don't know why I'm like nitpicking so much, because like Mount Rushmore doesn't mean it's the best anime ever. It doesn't have to be the best anime yet. I'm just being too picky.
Okay,
if you
well,
put it on the
I
mountain,
think,
I wouldn't even be mad. It's fine.
I think that Akira, I think I think Kaneda's bike should be that fourth spot.
The movie is only 2 hours and 4 minutes long.
Yeah, and that four minutes is credits. Like
that's like feels that's like 3 hours. That's like Danny. not even, you know.
Okay. Okay. The fourth spot should be the pill, and it should say.
Just have him on the motorcycle doing the slide. That's like the famous thing, right? So just do that. Like,
okay, there you
why
go.
Why are we making this hard?
Because the pill thing is fucking cool. Like, it
no,
says
you can't
like,
just what, have what? A pill. Then people are like, what the fuck? Is
but
that
no,
Mario?
It'll say good for health, bad for education.
No, Sam, that's too symbolic. We need the character. We need a face.
Okay, fine.
We need to put a face to this.
We'll have Tetsuo screaming, Kaneda!
Yeah, in fucking letters on the mountain.
So I say Tetsuo! That has the fourth spot.
Bubbling over it.
I say that has the fourth spot. Plus, it came out on my birthday, so fuck it.
I still say Totoro. Because okay. Ghibli is a bigger influence. And everybody in the West, and then basically in the whole world, knows about Hayao Miyazaki. And, dude, Studio Ghibli. Totoro. Plus,
Totoro's
cuter. You know?
I have an idea. Because you're making a great point, but we're coming up.
Where
on,
else do you find?
I have an idea.
Do you find that
I have an
in
idea.
American
I have
TV
an idea.
Shows? Fuck no, it's an anime.
Okay, relax. You're going on a Nick rant.
And furthermore,
I have an idea. Nick, get on Nick or Danny. Get on Twitter, do a Twitter poll, and let's not put the poll up until this episode comes out. But do a fucking thing. What on Anime Mount Rushmore?
Well, just
the last
ask
spot
people what
be,
would be their whole mountain. Like, or,
there you go.
Well, we could okay, do that, fine. Or we could be like between these options, pick one.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that's probably better because we're kind
Let's
of like
that.
in a disagreement about the fourth one.
Well, Nick, you're wrong. So
well, one of us is right, and two of
but
us
I think,
are wrong.
I
well,
think some
clearly
honorable
Nick
mentions,
is wrong.
Though, I think some honorable mentions though that Nick had listed here
oh,
we
yeah,
mentioned
yeah.
already, like Evangelion and. He put Space Battleship Yamato and Macross.
Yeah, Yamato is a big one we didn't mention, but I just feel like Gundam was just bigger.
Yeah, Cowboy Bebop and Yurusei Yatsura we mentioned. Full Metal Alchemist, Ghost in the Shell. There you go.
Yeah, Ghost in the Shell. So, like, if you're not going to do Akira for sci-fi, then I would put a Ghost in the Shell. I don't even know which one I would put, honestly, but yeah.
Right.
The thing is, like,
I would put well, if we're gonna do Ghost in the Shell, you know, I would definitely put the first movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
and the reason for that is because it's like it's one of those first anime. Well, not the first one, but it's like one of the most famous, like psychological, philosophical anime. You know, and
right,
it also inspired
right.
like we did a Ghost in the Shell episode. It inspired like The Matrix and fucking tons of other sci-fi stuff. So, that would be a good one to put on there, potentially.
All right. So this has been a great conversation. I've had my sandwich. I think I'm gonna be all right. They forgot the mayo, but that's fine. Not complaining. What do you guys think? Leave it in the comments. Hit us up on Twitter. Tell us what you're feeling, because we want to know what there is to know so we can go to the stove and sweep up the flow.
Oh my god.
And by sweep up the flow, I mean buy every anime, DVD, and Blu-ray that's in there. So there you go. Tell us what you guys think. What would you put on your Mount Rushmore? What would you put in our fourth spot in our Mount Rushmore that we just made? And do all the things. Sub, follow, like. Follow me on Twitter if you want. Follow Danny, Nick. I think
Nick
is
life.
Like.
Walk by me.
Follow Nick in real life. Just creep behind him. Follow him to work.
As I'm yelling at
do,
traffic.
Do the Michael Myers thing, just like in the bushes, like ding, 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 ding.
Or like the Tim and Eric thing where they're hiding behind the plant.
Yeah. Spaghetti.
God, that's funny as shit.
Oh my god. Okay.
Is this your kid?
Yeah, yeah. We love you. I've been Sam. She has been Danny. Best boy Nick. And we've been the Anime Summit Podcast. Dick Cheney.
Yeah, I don't know. What about Ralph Nader?
Ralph Nader.
I just love that name.